Good evening, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than threats of deletion on Facebook.
Yes.
The number to call in, and we hope you do call in, is 845-986-8804. 845-986-8804. You can join our chat room, The Den Pen, by going to davinsden.com and clicking chat and listen live. If you are listening to one of our affiliates, simply open up a new window in your browser, type in davincomedy.com and go to the Davin's Den page on the bottom. Click on that and then click chat and go. I'm your host, Davin Rosemont. I am joined by on time, Mr. Joe Curry.
Good evening.
And on time, Miss Pip Helix.
Thank you. Hi.
Hey, kids.
Hey, everybody. Hey, you know, before we get into what we're going to talk about this evening, we wanted to give a shout out to our fabulous and very loyal friend of the show, Dun Ross. Happy birthday, Dun Ross.
Happy birthday,
Happy
Dun
birthday.
Ross. Dun Ross is an old man today. I think, was he 96 today?
97.
He doesn't look a day over 84.
God bless.
I know. He gums his food like the best of
he
them.
He certainly does.
Right,
no,
right.
I think he's actually, I think he's in his early 20s. He's a young man.
Oh, all right.
He's a young man.
I don't even think he's that old.
He's in his early 20s, I think.
Yeah?
Well, we'll cut him open and count the rings.
But there's a lot of speculation. We're off like about 70 years between where he could be.
Well, Don Ross is a man of mystery.
I can see that. Over several decades.
It's purely speculation. We're getting various reports. Brian Williams is reporting.
Live from his birthday party.
Live from his birthday party where he saw a body float by.
Well, he did see fire, but it was candles on a
yes,
cake.
Yes, yes, but he's talking that as taking shots.
He took on fire.
Yeah. Brian Williams is taking on shots of vodka. But anyway, we shall move on. We're not going to talk about Brian Williams. But happy birthday, Don Ross.
Yes.
So we got a fun show tonight. This is one of my favorite shows of the year. We're having our annual anti-Valentine's Day special, which we're to try to determine the three biggest love fails of the past year. It is kind of the kickoff of us arguing, of assholes arguing over idiots season. Because it kicks off with the Valentine's Day,
yes.
Goes through the April Fool's, which is the biggest one of those,
yes.
And closes with the Father's Day show.
And we would be
well,
the
Mother's
idiots.
Day.
I said closes with. Mother's Day, she's in the middle.
Okay.
I didn't name each one.
Okay.
But now you did.
But wait, so are okay. We the assholes or the idiots in this scenario?
It depends on the bit.
Mm, okay.
It's a toss of the coin.
Well,
really.
I will probably find out in about 2 hours which area we fall into. I'm sure we will fall into one of those areas.
Yes, usually.
What I really like about this show is we also we go back into our own personal archives and share with the audience our own personal love fails.
Mm. Yeah, because there's so many more of those than the successes. Yeah,
you know, love letters that maybe don't hold up or that were quite argumentative at the time. That's really where I specialize in. We all have our own little twist on that.
Problems.
So what I'm going to do with that tonight is, if anybody, I know it's a very hard thing to do, but if anybody wants to call in with like a love fail story or like a love letter, what I'm going to do tonight, and the number to do that is 845-986-8804, 845-986-8804. If anybody chooses to call in and share with us, I'm going to give them one of our CDs because that should cheer them up. It's a fun time.
That'll do it.
It is a good time. I've recently handed out a couple more. And people are giving me really good reviews. My one friend said she was listening in the car. She said, that's a mistake. I almost sat right off the road.
I take that as a plus.
Yeah, no.
Somebody was tailgating me. I was really pissed off. I couldn't concentrate. You were saying what about your what?
Yeah.
Well, I was like when we did that show, we did the show at the church.
Which show at the church?
Recently. Yeah,
a couple of months ago.
A couple of months ago. And you were selling, you know, the DVDs of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this sweet little old lady that's got one. And the first thing she's going to hear is me coming on some girl's leg.
Well, let me clarify, Joe.
Wow.
She's not going to actually
hear
you coming.
Well, no, but it's like a story.
Can you imagine like, that the bit starts with a moan and a grunt?
And a woman goes,
that sounds like something that you'd send me home to record.
She goes, I had such a good time. You guys were very funny. And I can't wait to play your CD.
Oh, no.
The first thing is she's going to hear, you know, it's me. You were very entertaining. You know, wait till you get home and hear what I have to say about
Well, we sang on that piece. Yeah. There's that. Yeah, I mean, if she likes musical theater,
yes.
There's that. We sang about Superman,
as a matter of fact.
So I don't think it's quite as smutty as you think, Joe. I think we elevated the subject matter.
Don't look at us. She's going to have a change of heart about me when she hears the first track.
Well, I always warn them, don't let the kids listen. I mean, you know, it's not all pure filth.
It's just like this nice old lady. She's going to sit there with her shawl and a rock and make her shawl and knit her shawl. Hey, I came on his girl's leg.
All right. Let's stop. How nice is she? She saw the show in our live show and wanted more. She ain't that nice.
And the other thing is, you know, just because there's snow on the roof doesn't mean Grandma hasn't been around the block.
Yeah, I bet Grandma gets that shoveled all the time, Joe.
I just want to, you know, she gave me the impression of an old gal that sits there and knits, and she's got a cat, and the cat wags its tail while
and,
it knits.
And people at your job, you give them the impression of being a professional and a nice, dignified business person. Yet, in every other aspect of your life.
And what job you been at?
All right, you're an asshole all around.
I'm a moron that figures stuff out and guesses and cuts orders.
Yeah. All right,
wait,
you're consistent.
Yeah. Do you work at my job? Yeah. Are you me?
Hey, brought $100,000 today, so that ain't bad. So
nice.
I'll take it.
How about you bring it here?
Yeah.
I spent $2 million. I don't know why I'm still employed. Yeah, right.
Yeah. All right, back to what we got going on in tonight's show.
Okay.
So we're going to do the anti-Valentine's Day stuff, which is a lot of fun. So if you want to call in with that, do that. We're going to visit with Sickly Sue. You know, because it's romance season. Time for some good romance scamming.
I hope we've all had our flu shots because Sickly Sue might be contagious.
I might catch something right now.
Right now.
And we'll check in with Ann Jackson. She was infuriating last week.
Like the time she's been pleasant and gives you a good feeling.
There's been moments.
What? I have not experienced any of those moments.
It's like when somebody leaves. I mean, you're glad. You're glad they're gone, but you still feel glad. So those are the moments, you know. I mean, Anne's had, like, moments where you go, well, maybe she's getting it. You know what, Joe? Maybe tonight's the night, big guy. Maybe tonight is the night.
You know, it reminds me of the Ramones song. Glad to see you. Go, 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 go. Yeah. Goodbye. Glad to see you. Go,
get a better shot at Powerball.
Oh, did you get tickets?
Not for tomorrow. No, I got to get it. Still getting it.
What?
I got it for Saturday, obviously. I'm not, you know.
Maybe obviously you still wouldn't come if you won.
I would. Yeah.
He would come if he won. Yes, he would.
And then that'd be another bit.
Yeah. Then I would tell you that's the last night here. We're going to a brand new studio.
Oh, okay.
$1 million studio.
That would be awesome.
You're kicking Anthony out. Scram. And take your cat with you.
No.
Well, this Joe's making the call here. You know.
Leave the cat.
Joe probably wants to get his own cat.
Leave the cat, take the girlfriend.
Joe wants to get his own cat that's loyal to him. That when Joe says whose tail is that, answers properly.
Yeah.
If Joe wins Powerball, he can afford the cat that knows that answer.
I have to go searching for an obedient cat. Whose tail is that? Nuh-uh. Whose tail is that? Nuh-uh. Whose tail is that? Ow! You're in.
You're going to live the lifestyle.
You're going to live the lifestyle.
Me and you will both be dining on Fancy Feast, Kitty.
That's true.
Wait a minute. We've already done that.
No, that was Mighty Dog.
No. We had
dry cat food.
Kitty dry cat food.
But you bought the good stuff. That's the thing you're yelling at me. He's like, shut up, stupid. I bought you the good stuff.
I'm considerate.
I know. Like, that's supposed to make it better.
Yeah.
I posted on Monday one of my favorite videos. Actually gotten a lot of hits. I didn't post it on Pip's page. But I posted on your page, I don't know, of the Pip Helix licking your foot.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Thank you for not posting
it on my
page.
I didn't post that on your page. I could have actually done it by not showing the picture, but the pictures were so... The look on your face as you're holding Joe's foot.
Well, Joe's foot is a delicate, precious thing.
That's right. It most certainly is.
Far be it from us.
But when you posted it, I'm like, oh, why? You know, it's like...
Why? It's not a proud moment for you?
No, it's not a proud moment for her. I felt bad.
Oh,
she shouldn't have fucked up. It was her idea.
I know it was my idea.
It's funny.
I went upstairs and washed off my foot just in case. Yeah. I was pretty sure that
not
I was
Joe.
Gonna...
He went and stepped in cow shit.
No, I made sure my dogs were nice and clean.
He did.
Well,
you
know,
very considerate about it.
That's on. That's actually on our Facebook page right now, or you can go to the Davin Comedy YouTube channel. That's there.
Yeah.
My proudest moment.
I enjoyed it.
Yes.
Very, very much. All right. Well, let's get into it. What do you guys think about the Facebook, the unfriending and the following? I really don't unfriend. I don't think I've ever unfriended or unfollowed. Well, no, I did unfollow some people because they had already unfollowed me from a former station where we worked at.
Nice.
So I'm like, well, I don't need to get their updates either. But I'm not, but I'm not really an unfriender or an unfollower. What about you guys?
I will unfollow so that they're not... their stuff is not up in my feed because there's some people who are like, I have a lot of like animal, you know, friends like
they're really animal lovers.
So there's a horse on there. Oh, Pip unfriended me. I don't understand. You know how many times she's done that to me?
Yes, Joe is hitting the table like a horse counting.
Mr. Ed's political views were bothering me, so I unfollowed
him. Gee whiz, Pip.
Yeah, but you know what? Mr. Ed was a real American. He's back from America. That's what Mr. Ed was. He's a horse from the greatest generation.
I'm not afraid to call ISIS terrorists.
Stupid asshole!
I ripped my earbuds out. God damn!
Yeah, like karate.
And that's so they got louder. And the funny thing is, got louder in the phones now.
I know. Weird.
Jessely fixed it.
Yeah. Very weird.
God, if we have a problem with the internet, smash your head on a beam and everything will work perfectly.
And there's a post right next to you now, so we can fix that.
So what do you are you an unfriender?
Well, I mean, like I was
but
saying,
the animals,
the people who love animals sometimes they'll post things like animal cruelty videos or pictures, and I'm like, I go on Facebook for like happy times, friendly, funny stuff, and all of a sudden I'm seeing slaughtered animals, and I'm like, oh damn!
You don't like animal porn?
No, I don't.
Animal
I don't
slaughter
see that.
Porn.
And there's like some people like Crimson Cat in the
I would definitely
chat.
Unfriend her.
No, Crimson Cat just hit the nail on the head. She says, "I remove people from my friend list when they get on my nerves." And yes.
Yeah, but what? Maybe the problem's you, Crimson Cat. Why'd you friend them to begin with?
Well, you know what? Sometimes you friend them, and then all of a sudden when you start seeing them post everything they really think on Facebook, you go, I didn't know you that well.
Yeah,
I don't
but
want to know you that
show.
Well.
What am I going to do? Joe gets tagged. Listen, stupid, I've had enough. You're getting unfriended. Yeah. That's the last thing he sees in the feed.
Well, Lisa says, someone threatens me with unfriending me. I say, bring it. She's not afraid.
Okay, well, I do not back down to an unfriending.
No.
What about you, Joe? Are you an unfriend or unfollow person?
One person I unfriended.
Who'd you unfriend?
Joanne.
That was so you could get covert under the covers.
No, covert, because she would go on and go on other people's sites, certain people's sites.
That's
and make
not why
snotty
she'd been
comments.
Doing that for years.
I know, but there was one incident. That she wrote something uncomplimentary.
Yes, but it had to do with your shenanigans.
No,
pre shenanigans.
But it wasn't the other person's fault. She just made a comment, and that was the last straw. I unfriended her.
Yes,
because she would just go on, but that was the last straw for that. She had no right to write that. That person was minding their own business, and she wrote that. And another friend, my other friend Claire, wrote something on the same page, and I scolded both of them. I got my ass handed to me in three different directions that night. But
it's a lot of ass.
Oh boy, I caught hell from everybody. I got yelled at. Jesus Christ!
But, I like these people.
Yeah. Oh, but anyway, after that, I unfriended her because she would just go on and say dumb shit. I'm
so
like,
your current wife is the only person you've unfriended?
Yes.
Ah, that's very funny.
Yes. Yes.
I still say it's mostly for his covert ops.
No, it's not. That was the last straw.
Did she get pissed? I mean, because she had to know.
Yeah, she did get pissed.
It's hard to unfriend somebody when you live with them.
I told her. She goes, I'll never talk to you again if you don't unfriend, until you friend me. And I'm like, that's a threat.
I rarely realize who I'm unfriended by because I don't really track my friends.
Yeah.
I don't know how many I have. I mean, I got a lot of people in the bin waiting to be friended. Well, waiting to, shall I accept them? I don't know.
Yes.
Yeah.
But then there was this one who helped me get into a club, and I was giving him work. But he was like a pain in the ass. Like, he was sensitive like a bitch. I called to confirm him for a gig where I hired. And I'm like, I think I talked about this on the show. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm just calling to confirm you. I'm just messaging you to confirm. In all my years of doing comedy, I've never been confirmed by anybody. I'm like, really? What?
That's crazy.
Don't you want to know that we want to know that you want to show up at the gig?
It's weird. I mean, that's standard operating procedure.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, if I don't get confirmed by an agent, I confirm with them because I get concerned.
Yeah.
Because mistakes happen.
Yeah, I got to get coming up on Saturday. I know I have the gig. We discussed it last week, but I haven't heard. It's Wednesday tomorrow. I'm going to call. I haven't heard the confirmation yet. I'm going to call tomorrow and make sure I get the gig. It's courtesy. It's courtesy.
Yeah, and it's like, you ever hear cancellations?
Yeah, but you know what? A lot of comics shoot themselves in the foot, and a lot of comics, they lose gigs. And, I don't know where to work. This plan to work, for this guy anymore. I don't know. Because of stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's you have to be professional.
I was really pissed off when that happened.
You should be. That's bullshit.
So we did a gig together after that, and we really didn't talk much.
Mm-hmm.
So I noticed I haven't been getting spots at that club he got me in either recently. Yeah. I don't know if one has to do with the other. But he was showing up in my feed quite a bit.
Right.
And then it kind of stopped.
Yeah.
So I went over there to check. Yeah, he unfriended me.
Yeah. Now, I've been unfriended a bunch of times, but I've been
I can imagine.
No, what happens is, if your friends of yours are going out with like this girl, and you start dating this girl, and then you get a friend request from the girl, your friends and stuff, and then they get in a monumental fight, and they have a nasty breakup. Man, oh man, you get unfriended. Everybody gets wiped clean.
That doesn't really even count, though.
Well, it's unfriended, you know. But
it is unfriended.
But you're lumped into that. But you know what? If it's this girl that my friend's been dating, and the unfriend me, we were friends while we were dating. But if the unfriend me, you know, in a way, you're right because it's not really a deal breaker.
No,
you were more of an acquaintance, not a friend.
I get upset when I'm unfriended and I find out because I don't know why. It's a very cowardly thing to do. And here's the thing: I don't send out friend requests. I don't ask people to be my Facebook friend. I'm pretty sure if I got like 700 Facebook friends on my thing, I'm pretty sure 695 of them requested to be my friend.
So and you don't really know them anyway.
Yeah. Right?
Not really?
But I mean, even if I do, it's like I don't. What happened? What happened? Where did it go wrong?
I get people. Recently, I've had a spate of people requesting to be my friend, and they're just friends of friends, and I'm not really even sure that I've had a conversation with them. But, you know, it's like if I look them up and I see, oh, okay, those were our mutual friends. I see where you found me. Those people seem cool, and all of them are your Facebook friend. All right, I'll give you a shot. I give people a trial membership.
Everybody gets a shot.
No, not everybody. If I can't tell where the hell you found me from, and you don't say you're a fan of the show, you're not even like connected to Davinson or something, I'm not interested. I don't know you from Adam. No.
See, I just like now that my profile's more locked down, I don't get as many random requests.
Yeah.
But I just assume most of the time, if I do get a random request, unless I can tell it's a scammer, that's it's usually a comic, and if I don't know the comic, they stay in the bin until our paths cross. I don't need to know, and I've said this before, I don't need to know when you're going to be playing the corner deli. I really don't care.
You should. We're going to find out who books that.
Yeah, sure.
Pastrami.
Leads a lead. I don't care.
Very practical, Joe.
Yes. But, I mean, you know, I don't know what I was going to say. Thank you, Joe.
No, but, sorry. But
he derailed your train of thought.
He derailed your train of thought.
It must not have been an important point.
I tell you, though, I get some friend requests. I get like about 12 I got in a bin, but they're like wacky names, like Something Wong and stuff like that.
Something
future
Wong.
Names of future characters of yours, Joe.
So it's like, you know, I'm a little cautious with that. They've, you know, several have been on there for a while, and I'm like,
President Obama. I find that highly unlikely after my memes.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
So, you know, in regards to that, no, I'm a little selective on that.
Yeah.
I mean, I get upset by an unfollower. The unfollow on Twitter, I don't even know, because I don't know the people who follow me, right. And I don't know why they unfollow me, because I suck at Twitter. Facebook, very entertaining.
I don't know how to use Twitter. That well.
Well, it sure is a shame Aunt gave you 700 followers. That is a bit.
No, but I'll post gigs. If I post some dumb thing, I'll put it on there.
You're supposed to put funny shit on there, too.
I put funny shit on there.
I don't think I've ever seen a funny... Well, I don't read Twitter, so I don't know.
All right, so no, I put some funny stuff on there. But it's like, you know, with how people, in-depth people get in with Twitter, I don't know how to do any of that. I really don't.
I don't even... I'll read Facebook on occasion. Like, I'll go down and see what people are posting. I'll do that in the morning. I never go on Twitter to see what people think.
No.
No, I just, and 140 characters, I'm not interested.
Yeah.
It's a Twitter.
Oh, I know, the way you write, it's like.
What do you mean the way I write?
Well, every time you post, you write so, everything that you write is so long, like in a post or a show post, it's like, after the eighth paragraph, I'm like, okay, we move on.
But people want to know, you post the same thing every week, I try to entice them.
Yeah, I know. I post the same thing every week. I mix it up a little bit, but
you got the same three posts, you rotate them.
Because it's quick and to the point, yours is not.
It's not, because I have to be more... Well, first of all, I know what's going to be on the show.
Yeah.
Yes. That kind that's
of
helpful.
I kind of have a better idea than
I know,
you guys
but people have no attention span. You've only got them for, like, maybe a paragraph.
See, no, I think on Facebook... Yeah, but that's what they usually are. Facebook, you have a little bit more attention. Plus, with Facebook, I think I have a track record of mixing in promotional stuff with, like, funny stuff.
Yeah.
Or political stuff. I mix it all in. Like, I'll throw some things out there to get a conversation going, or then I'll just say something, like, funny or, like, rude or inflammatory. Like, I mix it up.
Well, you know, it's funny. I don't know if you wrote today. I put on Facebook, please listen to our show. What is it? Listen to our show. You know, a lot of shows we make the news, you know.
Yeah, it's number one in the rotation.
Right. So Ed, our friend Ed, writes and it goes, prove it. And I go to our page. I go, I perfect that. Time to go. I go to our media page, and we've got all the documentation you want to see. Plus, listen, you always bark at us. Not so much at Davin, not really at all at Davin, but he's always finding objection with me. I go,
well, so much. I saw that, and I almost jumped in. But I'm like, I wish, yeah, you have. I'm like,
but,
I don't need
but
to.
But I wasn't damning him. I'm like, yes, we do, Ed. Listen,
I
check
think,
it out.
I really
and check out the show. I'm inviting. I was very cordial. Wasn't in a mean spirit. I was very cordial.
You
like,
confused
yeah, we,
him.
I know. We got the documentation. Check out the page. Ed, please listen.
I think he did that to
bust my balls.
Yeah.
But I was being. He wasn't expecting me to be sincere and succinct back to him.
You know? I don't think that particular person has any interest in listening to the show. This is my guess.
But I wish the way he comments and gets into our debates that you and I have
like
on Facebook.
Because he's like Alan West. It's easy to say shit when you're not held accountable.
But if you're going to get involved in our when you and I get in a scrap or a debate on Facebook and he has a lot to say, listen to the show.
He's
have
not
some
that
interest.
Invested. He's not that invested.
So if you've got that much to say, take a listen to the show. I welcomed his feedback. I'd love to hear. I honestly, sincerely would love to hear from him. If he wants to take that much interest, listen to the show.
I invited your friends on Facebook. You know, your blog. You know, they were cheering you on. Oh, you should have me call in, one of your friends was saying.
I understand that. They know the number.
I said, our lines are always open.
The show is for dialogue, regardless what end of the argument that we're on. And it was pretty good the past probably about – not last week, but the 3 weeks prior, where you and I would get into debates, and it was close to the show, and we would bring the debates on the show. And made for very good shows.
That was a topic we had already discussed, so I had no interest in revisiting.
On that one, yeah, I understand. But, you know, it's good. But when we do have that, where you and I are both on each side of the coin, and we'll start the debate on a Sunday, or it goes into Monday.
So he's baiting me. Joe is successfully luring me in.
If I wanted to do that, I would throw stuff at you every Sunday to get you going. But it just happened for 3 weeks.
No, this was a Saturday.
But what I'm...
Here's a bait bomb.
Joe had
Boom.
A busy Sunday ahead of himself.
But you know, when for those 3 weeks, it was and it made for a very good show because we were bringing and I wanted to bring people that were listening.
But my point was this, and you know, I get what you're saying. Sometimes I'll indulge it, and sometimes I don't. Like this time, I just had one comment with one of the things you said, and I let it go. But like when your friends go, oh, I want to call it. I'm like, dude, the phones are open every week.
I am with you wholeheartedly on that. I would love them for them to call in.
Yeah, why not?
But it goes back to the Ed thing. It's easy to write something in a text when it's hard to challenge. But apparently he thinks I'm a big left-wing guy. That was one of his – which I proved on the Joe Cumia show. But I think even Joe Cumia would say I'm not as left as he thought I was.
I think
he said as much.
Well, yeah. So I didn't even address that. I'm like, but you can call in. I'm going to give you your – I know exactly what you're going to say, your point of view. You make it clear. You can call in.
But even not even calling in, if he was on the chat – if he,
I tell him the chat.
On the chat. If he's in the chat and he says it's style and I would –
Because I'm quite intimidating.
Not intimidating, but he loves to try, and I don't have a problem with that.
He loves to slap you on the back. You had a lot of that on that thread. Good job, Joe. Tell it like it is.
He called me on something. Was your documentation? And he checked.
No, that was. I'm talking about the one where your friend said, "I'd love to come on the show," and I'd love to come on the show. Like I shut down the phone lines and closed the chat. And they'll take calls.
I wish they would. I wish they would, and make for a great dialogue. I really am for that.
Maybe. But I would argue, and I don't know this person, so I don't know. You can correct me. Or I would argue, just by seeing what he's posted on Facebook, that unlike Joe Cumia and Anthony Cumia, and to yourself to a degree, he would not be able to go toe-to-toe with me with facts. Because that's what we did on Joe's show, and that's what we used to do on Ant's show, and that's what we do here. Because I've seen what he does with the name calling and everything, and that actually led to me and Joe talking.
Well, sometimes it's like if you call out a fact, all right, let's stop and discuss. Yeah, that's a great thing. We're either on each side of the coin. So it's always fun to do. I love that. You know, let's look at this fact. And it makes a good, you know, it makes for good dialogue because there might be some things you're seeing, some things you're still, you know, emphatic about, but it still makes for great dialogue. I enjoy that. I love that.
We might bring up an angle that somebody hadn't thought about it that way. But the thing is, when somebody degenerates into, you know, ad hominem attacks,
it's
stupid.
And, you know, once I see libtard and all that, okay, we're done.
Yeah.
Well, there was a thing where they were raising the tolls again.
Oh, no.
Yes. Joe's favorite. I'm sick and tired of this, and it's all going to the...
You were tired of it 3 years ago when we started the show.
They're going to everything. Pockets, and it's all waste and spending. Somebody sent me a pie chart where a lot of the money goes, and a lot of the money goes to legacy costs for, you know, pensions and stuff like that.
Yeah, there's nothing you can do about that.
Yeah.
No, but that's
but like I said, you know, it's something where I, you know, and so, but it's going to pensions and stuff like that.
And you could do. And, people don't understand that.
But
I mean, I don't know how accurate that pie chart is, but let's say take it on its face value that it's accurate and that's where it goes. And I would assume it does. That's where a lot of our government spending goes.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they signed the contract, they did the job, and this is what they get.
Right. Now, with that in mind, I didn't realize that, and I didn't realize that it was a humongous part of the pie chart. And I'm like, well, y'all be there, you know. And
yeah,
I,
makes
you
sense.
Know, and it's
banks are having a way of illuminating things.
If you're not aware of it and it's brought to your attention and then you realize that and go, okay,
well,
I see this in a different light.
You handed it in a, you handled that particular situation in a rational way. Somebody else might have handled it, well, I don't care, and bluster, bluster, bluster.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's the difference. That's and that's why, and that brings up the subject of you and I debating, Joe and Joe Pietro debating and stuff like that, something where you will bring up something and go, well, Jesus Christ, I never realized that.
Well, they were blown away because I had facts with me.
Well,
we had no idea this was going to happen.
But still, we debated those facts regardless.
Sure.
Yeah, but, you know, and I'm not saying if you were, you know, I'm phrasing.
Well, they're official government facts.
I'm not saying debated the facts, whether they were right or wrong, but debated them, you know, about the validity, the, you know, what percentage. I mean, there was an intelligent conversation on it when it was presented.
Well, intelligence four assholes.
So, but it's not like, oh, it was bullshit. You know, we looked into it. You know, you would investigate it. You check it out. You ask questions about it. That's fascinating talk. That's really
you would
good.
Think,
I love that.
You would think.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, honestly, I don't do it that often on this show because I get tired of it. I do it sometimes on this show.
Yeah, well, there's some things like,
I don't feel like arguing with you every week.
Well, no, I don't feel like arguing with you every week. Matter of fact, I've been taking a break for a couple because we've been a debate battle mode, Viking mode for the past week. You know, you get tired. Let's talk about kittens. Everybody likes kittens.
Yeah. There's an election coming up in 2016. We'll have plenty of time.
Hold on, I'm on board. We're talking about kittens?
Yeah, but just don't post them. Pip gets very upset. There's too many kittens.
No, I love them. The dead ones, I don't want to see so much.
Oh, well, that's 90% of my kittens.
And I tell you,
sending me those.
Sorry.
The beginning.
They're personalized.
I know. Dead kitten memes. I'm so happy. Oh.
Brian Williams says this kitten's alive.
He was there.
I resuscitated it myself.
I shared that litter box with that tabby. I know him.
When that bomb was incoming.
It was a good feline.
Brian Williams was chased by this horde of kittens in Iraq.
He's never coming back.
Yeah, he is. He'll be fine.
But how do you trust him?
How do you trust people on Fox News? They do. These people lie. Sarah Palin's still going to be put on as a pundit. She's a raging moron.
Because if you look at him over Hillary, I understand.
Because
but they
root.
People have a short attention span.
Because people root. People root for Fox News. People root for NBC and MSNBC. This is my team.
Fox News, MSNBC, you know, CNN. You could all go, those guys are, you know, the facts of, and you know, these guys are, you know, CNN. These guys are, you know, this. But this was, it's, you know, it's speculated. Some people pointed out on social media and stuff like that. But this was front page news. How do you report? Good evening. Today's news, me. I'm full of shit. Facts came out that I was full of shit. You know, how credible are you? You can't be the news.
But you could argue the whole channel on Fox News could do that with the exception of Shepard Smith. We've been thinking. We've been reading inflammatory bullshit for over a decade now. Our bad. Us and Brian Williams are going away. It's never going to happen. People love Brian Williams. He's a funny guy. He's a charismatic guy. He's a good look. He's the most trusted man in news, for God's sake.
But it's not anymore.
Well, only if you pay attention to facts.
Wait a minute. He's the most trusted man in news only that doesn't have to do with him.
Only if you pay attention to facts.
Yes!
And that's why I'll be back, because nobody does.
Exactly. It's the same thing when you watch the partisan news, whether it be MSNBC or Fox News. If you don't fact check it, it makes perfect sense. Yeah. It was a great story until somebody said, not so much.
Yeah, it's like reality got in the way. Ah, damn it.
It happens all the time. Remember the last election when a stupid Karl Rove was saying that Romney was going to win, when everybody at Fox News at that point was going, really stupid? Because it's your own reality until everybody goes, all right, enough, we get it, you're full of crap. I mean, Sarah Palin was thinking about running for president again until somebody let her talk without a teleprompter.
Oh, God, yeah. When your own side is like, shut up.
Even when she talks with a teleprompter.
But most of the right was like, all right, she's batshit nuts. And the left was like, what took you so long? We knew for a long time.
Hold on, hold on.
I said most, but you left that train.
Most of the right, the Tea Partiers are really behind
Fox
it.
News. Yeah. Puts her up there as a pundit. That's their channel. That's their team.
That's good. Yeah, but MSNBC.
Go red.
What's his name?
Sharpton. Oh yeah, no doubt. Everybody's got their team.
I know.
But I think the left.
There's ugly on both sides.
No, absolutely. Yeah. But I think the left likes Sharpton less than the right like Palin. I think within the right Palin was more popular than Sharpton was on the left. Because even Democrats with Sharpton go really.
Yuck. Well, I don't know.
At least white Democrats.
It's hard to quantify who hated them more.
I don't want to listen to either one.
But here's the deal.
I'll listen to Brian Williams tell me war stories.
Here's the deal with Sharpton. Sharpton is I call him a rebel rouser, but he's a community leader who everybody knows is up to no good, and he rallies people.
Like one of the
mentally
rouses. Kids?
No, he's a tax dodger. He's got all this baggage and stuff like that. And everybody sees Al Sharpton for what he is. There is Al. If you're in the community, you might go, all right, he's rallying for us. If you're not and you're against him, here he goes again. Sarah Palin comes out as a candidate, and she's an asshole.
But when she first came out, people were like, wow, what a breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
Well, define when she came out. What year?
When McCain said that, when she gave that first speech, and McCain said, this is my vice presidential candidate, everybody was smitten with her. Everybody loved. Like,
it was
wow.
pretty overwhelming.
And then it was kind of like when Katie Couric asked, "Well, what books do you read?" Well, that it's a gotcha question. Is it
what newspapers?
That's what it was. That was it. Newspapers. Whatever it was, she was thrown by such a hard, challenging question.
Here's
Katie Couric's a real ball buster.
Here's the thing with Sarah Palin. They threw the Republicans threw her out there because they wanted a female candidate.
Yeah.
How about one with a brain?
They hadn't really vetted that.
They had Christine Todd Whitman.
They could have put Condoleezza Rice out there.
They could have put anybody else with a pulse.
Yeah. I mean, Condoleezza Rice is very smart, very well-read, and a very good leader. Believe me.
She didn't want it, obviously.
I know. And Colin Powell, I thought, would have made a really good president, but Colin didn't want it either.
No, his wife didn't
want
him.
Now he might run as a Democrat if he were to run. I don't think he's going to run, but I'm saying you've heard him say things. Like, in some ways, he's still very conservative, but he's so disgusted, I think, with how far right the right is going. He would never win in a primary because the primaries are far left and far right.
Yeah,
and he's more of a centrist in a lot of things.
And that's what I would like to say. That's what we need.
Yeah.
We do.
We
need a centrist.
Because we're so divided
between
right-wing, left-wing, and it's not like even 20 years ago. Where it was, what's good for the country?
Well, but I'm going to call you on this.
All right.
I'm going to call on your last post on Facebook, which I did not engage, the one where, on Saturday, you posted, and I commented on that. You go, yeah, these people are brainwashed if they don't. And I'm like, oh, okay, so if we don't agree, we're brainwashed. Got it. I mean, that's a very inflammatory thing.
But it's very, it's very obvious that a lot of people don't see things for where they are.
No, they don't see things the way you see where they are. There's a difference. There's a whole half of a nation who doesn't see things the way you see them.
Okay, but if you firmly agree on that position.
On what position?
On the position that
your blog?
Yeah, on my blog.
But right, so you said you either firmly agree with me or if you don't, you're brainwashed. All right,
now,
that was your point.
Now, but here's that's the way I feel. Now, in the blog itself, I wrote, if anybody from the newer generation reads what I said and totally disagrees, challenge yourself to prove me wrong.
I think we did that on our show a couple weeks ago. And I'm not going to revisit that conversation.
But challenge me to prove me wrong.
I did.
Which is an inspiring thing. I wish somebody,
I did. On the air. Oh, the phone. That throws me when that happens.
Oh, my goodness.
Saved by the bell. Hello. Welcome to Davin's Den.
Hello?
Ah, chicken.
That was fun.
Somebody testing out their phone.
Must have been one of your friends.
But like I said, I would, to challenge me.
But your friends are mostly right-wingers on your Facebook page.
I'm not trying to appease my friends. I put it in.
Yeah, you are.
No, I'm in there to appease myself. If people agree with me, that's fine. If people disagree with me, then we'll discuss it. And if people were, if people of the newer generation.
Why would anybody go on your Facebook page, which is so predominantly right-wing by the people who you're friends, which just happens to be that way, why would anybody go on there to debate things with that group?
You do.
But even I get exhausted. I go, enough.
I understand.
And I did it with you on our show because we have that forum.
I understand. But like I said, I even put
it
out there.
But your friends, and I'm going to separate Joe Cumia from that, your friends, and I've seen it time and time again, very often, immediately go to name calling. And you, to a degree, like I said, did it with the brainwash thing. Why would anybody think that that's an intelligent place to have a conversation?
Because people are brainwashed by the liberal media.
The liberal media.
The liberal media. Where, you know, that these
What's Fox News? Is that the liberal media?
It's no, but it's... but
does that brainwash people?
They have their opinion. It's up to your
that's
opinion.
That's not what I asked you. Do they brainwash people?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think
you
so.
You don't think they brainwash people?
But what I'm telling you is this. People are free to make up their own minds about stuff.
Yes.
What I'm telling you is facts that I've seen, things I've seen, and the truths that are out there. And it's just that a lot of things. No, they're not teaching the pledge in school. The kids don't have any respect for their country.
Wait. I don't want to re-argue this, but hold on. I'm going to stop you right there, and then we're going to go back to Facebook, something important.
There's a kitten on there.
Where do you see kids do not have respect for this country?
Just a lot of the respect that they don't have. It's like this.
Where? Who? Give me an example.
All right, I'll give you an example. A lot of these kids, these people that go out, the Occupy Wall Street people.
First of all, those aren't kids. Those are adults.
No, most of them were people in their 20s.
And those are the same people that are defending this country.
Okay, there you go again. Mixing the people that have volunteered to be in the army with people, with the general public.
You called them? You said people in their 20s. Most people aren't doing Occupy Wall Street either. It's a very small minority of people.
There is a big contingent in this country that expects the government to help them.
Who? Where?
A lot of them. I don't know who.
Where in your life is sitting at home?
A lot of people that graduate college that sit there and complain there are no jobs but refuse to take menial jobs. A lot of people that refuse to work at a McDonald's or something like that.
Who? Do you know
college
anybody?
Yes, I know
a bunch of them. Name names.
Several friends of mine. I'm not going to name their names, but they're out there. You have to look. You don't look and you don't see things.
I
love the way you laugh. You sit in this insulated house of yours.
Because I do.
And you don't work in the real world. You don't work a regular day job. You don't go out there. You never busted your balls working menial jobs.
I didn't. Wait. I got to stop you again. Because you seem to presume to know shit that you don't. I've been working since I was 13.
What was your first job?
My first job was a paper boy.
A paper boy. Okay. What was your second job?
My second job, I was loading trucks for UPS.
Loading trucks for UPS. Yeah. How long did you do that? Was that a season?
I did it in one of the hottest summers on record. It was a summer job.
Okay. All right. What else do you have?
Let's see. What else did I have? I don't remember them all. I worked in a collection agency.
Okay, that's an inside job. You work in a phone.
Yeah, you try to collect during George Bush Sr.'s recession. Mm-hmm. You try to collect that.
Right.
Ugh. Yeah, exactly. That's another cushy job.
Right.
That's the same job you got.
That's right. And I work very hard. But there are people out there that want minimum demanding.
Wait. I want to draw something. You made an assertion about me.
Yes.
And you were wrong.
No, I am not wrong because you still don't. You're not out there. You don't work with people during the day.
Because I'm fucking good enough at my job not to.
But I'm telling you, don't have a feeling what goes.
If you could be me, you would.
Go out to. I want you to sit. You always argue with
If you could be me and support yourself doing comedy, you would.
But that's not the thing. I don't have the luxuries that you do. Okay.
Don't hate me. Don't hate for that.
But what I'm saying is that you don't. I talk to more people that bust their ass than you ever will. And I'm telling you that the feeling is out there that people that the younger generation do not want to work hard. They want handouts and they don't have the incentive or the drive that demonstrates.
And you know who feels that way? Older generations. The way older generations
because
let me finish. The way older generations, and we talked about this, I don't want to get into this, the way older generations have always felt about the previous generations. Throughout our history, in the 50s, the golden age you like to talk to, these kids don't work hard enough. In the 60s, in the 70s, it was these damn hippies. These kids don't work, your generation, these kids don't work hard enough. It's always that feeling. Whether it's valid or not, somebody's not doing what I did. Shut the fuck up and worry about yourself. Personal responsibility. Don't worry about somebody else. Worry about yourself. That's what I do. I don't care. I don't care if somebody's at home.
But I get concerned when we sit here and we feel that we have to handhold everybody.
Who's handholding?
Us. We have to understand, and they want more. They don't want to work for minimum wage without working hard for it and getting ahead.
Well, so you determine what working hard is.
Yes, I do determine
so
working hard.
So you said menial jobs, right?
Yes.
Is McDonald's a menial job?
It most certainly is.
So is that working hard?
But you work there, you go to school at night, you bust your ass, and then you get the fuck out of there.
And what do you do when your job has been downsized? And now you're replaced by a computer and in your 50s and you have to work at McDonald's.
You know what? Then you do it. And then you work another job. And then you figure it out. And you downsize yourself. and you don't complain about it. You figure it out.
So why do
you
get to complain?
You figure it out.
Why do you get to complain? That's all you do. You complain about everybody else.
Because I responded to something I saw on Facebook.
But why do you get to complain? Why do your friends
get
to complain?
Because that's a voice, and that's freedom of speech.
They have a voice, too.
Then feedback. And if people are proving me wrong, then give me the facts to prove me wrong.
But you're saying you have
I think what you're getting upset is that most people were agreeing with me than disagreeing. And I really emphatically think that's the case.
I'm not upset at all. No,
you are upset.
I'm upset.
Absolutely.
I'm upset because you cast aspersions on people. And you talk about personal responsibility, and it's always somebody else's fault. Just like you blame me in some level, because I'm fucking good at what I do, and I've been good at what I do for a long time. The same way I'm fucking dragging the... Let me finish. Same way I'm... Because you were going to say something.
I started.
The same way I'm fucking dragging this radio show to success, and you know I am, because I bust my ass, and because I'm good at it. There's nothing wrong with being good at it. I fucking work more hours probably than... Now, I know you got a million jobs, so I'm not going to say you particularly. I know you do a bunch of things, but I bet you I work more fucking hours doing more crazy shit than a lot of the people at your office. So don't you fucking cast aspersions on people.
Most of the people in my office dragged in about $100,000 worth of business today. We turn
about
$8 million a year.
Are we talking about money or are we talking about effort?
I'm talking about effort. The people I work with bust their ass each day. You got to see the shit we put up with day in and day out.
But who are you to judge who has a menial job and who busts their ass? Who the fuck made you kid?
You know what? Because I had them. I worked them. And I went to school at night and busted my ass. Saved every fucking penny I had to go to school and busted my ass.
And I
worked every menial job.
And I commuted 2 hours each way to law school, went to law school full-time, worked a part-time job at a mortgage company, and started my comedy career. So don't you fucking tell me about busting ass. And I got good enough at this so that this is my job.
No, you're lucky your wife works during the day. That's what the thing is.
No.
I bust my ass. I pay over $16,000 in taxes.
Because you choose to live there. That's
your
decision.
That's my choice, but I bust my
ass. Here, you'll pay much less taxes.
I should. But,
you should. But that's a decision.
But I bust my ass. And to tell you the truth, when I see people that are not busting their ass and complaining, I have a problem with. Maybe you don't, but I do.
But why do you worry about them? They don't affect
because
you.
Because I responded to something on Facebook, and then I was called on it. And then I defended my point, and then I wrote a blog
on it. In comedy, we always talk about this. We talked about this a lot, and we have the same philosophy. Don't worry about who's passing you. Just worry about you. And that, you know, for the most part, has kept our sanity.
Right.
For the most part, because, you know, sometimes we'll see someone go, really, they're doing that gig? We don't think they're worthy of that gig, whatever the hell it is.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the same philosophy I take in my life. I don't worry about what other people are doing.
Right.
I'm happier that way.
Right.
Why wouldn't you do that?
Because
you do it successfully in comedy.
I do it, but if I saw something, and there was a guy on there, I'm not going to name the comic, but wrote all this negative stuff about the situation of comedy and stuff like that, and I responded back with about 8 paragraphs worth of stuff. I wasn't out looking for that, but if there was something that struck me that I wanted to respond to, I responded to it.
Fine.
Just like that meme. It's like, how do you think we write our material? We write our material. There is something there that strikes us that we write a bit about that we want to respond
right, but
about.
But it's only recently in the past couple of years that you're starting to talk about things in society.
Because things in society are aggravating the shit out of me.
Right, but they were the same things going on in society since you started comedy. You've changed, and we evolve as comics.
Yes.
We evolve as comics, but I would argue to you, my argument to you would be you're a much angrier person now.
Let's think about that. Yes.
Okay.
But I'm not an angry, I'm a more wiser person.
I don't know about that. I think things that you used to let go because you had other things to worry about or whatever, or you were just in a different place in your life.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is. I think things that you used to let go and, you know, focused internally on whether it be your marriage or your music or your comedy, I think maybe it's the fact that now you're not invested in a certain aspect of your life, or you're looking at other things. You just seem angrier, like a lot of people do when they get older. Hey, in 10 years, I might be pissed off.
You might be.
I'm angrier than I was 10 years ago.
I was angrier than I was 10 years ago.
You know what? I think it also has to do a lot with who's in office. I was angrier when Bush was in office than I am now. And to be honest, they both did a lot of the same shenanigans.
Yeah.
If you look at it, I mean, the Republicans won't say that about Obama. He's the most radical president we've ever had. No, not really. But liberals hated Bush as much as Republicans hate Obama. They argue differently. They're, you know, the way they express that. But I was certainly angrier then. So I would think the next time, if we get a Republican president, I would hope I can look back on how I was now and take it more in stride,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to getting angrier. Because he's been, So I guess when I was in my mid-30s, early 30s, and gas prices were going up, and I was driving all over the country, and I was like, oh, Bush, and your oil cronies and everything, because, you know, he's an oil guy.
You didn't say, thanks, Bush.
No, but I was a lot angrier now than with Obama, when Obama had the $4 gas.
Yeah.
Maybe I understand things better. Maybe it's more because it's my guy. I don't know.
Well, the $4 gas was due mainly to the speculators. The speculators were
talking
about
it. Understand that. I think a president can only do so much with any of this stuff. Well, but we naturally focus all of our attention to the guy. So
when
Bush was in office, it was very easy for somebody with my leanings to shake my fist and go, oh, Bush. So, and now, when Obama's in office...
You come out of your house with a shillelagh. Bush.
Yeah. But that's kind of like what I see a lot of people from your generation on your side doing under Obama. So I always wonder if we get a Republican president, and the Republican president does the shenanigans that Obama does, that Bush did, will the people on the right hold them to it? And I would guess no. Just like I don't hold Obama as much, although I'm not thrilled with him, because he was quote-unquote my guy. So, I mean, I might be angrier in 2 years if we get a Republican president. But I think that has a lot to do with the anger, because it's your team. Your team's not winning, or wasn't winning.
Kind of.
I think that's what it is.
I think that there's an aspect to that. I mean, I don't think anybody who reads the papers, looks at television, will reject the notion that we're not doing as well as we did years ago.
But we are doing better than we did a while ago.
Yes.
Defined a while ago.
We're doing better than we did under Bush, but our income has been going down for decades.
Yes.
For decades. But it's not an Obama thing. Just like it wasn't a Bush thing. There's certain things.
It wasn't. You can't point to any one party or any one president for this particular part. It's just been on a downward slope. And you can look at the chart
and
say,
you can look at the differentiate. Like you talk about the 50s, the golden era, like you like to refer to. What a CEO is making compared to what the average worker was making is much smaller.
Mm-hmm.
The difference was much smaller now than compared to what a CEO is making in a company compared to the average worker.
Yeah, the disparity between the haves and have-nots is much greater than it was.
And that increases tension.
Yes.
And increases anger.
Yes.
And if it's not your guy in office, it makes you that much angrier.
Well, it's a combination between... Well, Joe, I mean, we're about the same age, so it's a combination of... As you get older, I think that people tend to look more fondly at years before and how things were better. And we get more angry at all those damn kids. I mean, it's just true.
But
get off of my yard!
There's a certain crotchiness to it.
There is, but I mean, it's inevitable. It's just one of those.
But Joe
things.
Wasn't always this crotchety. I remember when Joe wasn't crotchety.
That comes with age.
Yeah, it does.
I don't know if it does. There's happy older people.
I'll see you in 10 years.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
you'll be dead. You'll have a stroke.
I'll see you in 10 years when you're trying to get money together to send your daughter to college and you have to deal with teenagers.
We've already had a plan in place. We've already been saving, and I expect those type of things. And I'm not going to blame anybody else. I mean, we've planned. I mean, we've had investments. Like, also, I'll tell you how I think. In 2008, when the stock market went down and everything went to shit and everybody panicked, right?
Right.
You remember that? Everybody, you know, what was it, the last days of Bush's presidency? Is that when it was?
Like, about.
Yeah, and the banks kind of fucked us all.
Yeah.
And now they're still walking around. That's wonderful.
Yeah, they and got bonuses.
But when everybody was sell, I took that as an opportunity to buy.
That's what you do. Yeah,
exactly. So I'm always thinking ahead. So yeah, well, I might not be thrilled, but you look at me like that, but everybody sold. That's why the stocks were so low, Joe.
Yeah.
I swooped in and go, well, I'll fucking take some McDonald's. We'll get some IBM or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah.
You know, you got to plan ahead. And people get pissed off because they don't plan ahead. And so this kind of goes to what you say.
Wait, so that pink slime is your fault?
Pink slime.
Pink slime.
Yeah, that pink slime that they make the burgers out of.
I love when you went, well, I'll tell you what, and she'll make a comment like, hold it.
What? That's why she's here.
They both turn and look at me like, what?
We're both like in that picture at pointers, like, hold on.
You know what, I gotta isolate that for when somebody doesn't get what Pip does, go, here, listen to this. She's needed. She's needed more than you know. It didn't make sense. Exactly.
No, it does.
Of course it does.
Oh, yeah.
Sure it does, Precious. No, I understand what you're saying because I own stock. I'm responsible for the meat
substitute. Yes, stockholder. Yes. Absolutely.
Yes. Yes, I am. And you know what? Keep on eating that shit. I got to be honest. I don't eat there. But I've made a boatload of money on them.
But sometimes he'll make a thing about like a big company. Well, the stockholders should take an interest in how they do their business and how the
No, you know what?
I don't own enough.
T-Boone Pickens. Now what do you got
to
say?
I don't own enough shares to make a difference. Listen, I don't think
small little voice.
I don't think people should eat that. I just did it right here.
Yeah.
I'm saying against my own self-interest.
Yeah.
I don't think people should eat that crap. So I'm doing what I can do. I got a forum.
You should help people eat that. How are you going to put the kid through school?
But I'm putting...
should be campaigning
I'm
for
putting
them.
The good of the many and the good of myself.
Yeah.
So I'm saying that, but that's what I'm saying. Don't eat that. It's very, very bad.
You know, I won't buy gas at Exxon, but we have a little bit of Exxon stock. Yeah. I'm one of those guilty.
I won't buy gas at Citgo because they're from Venezuela, and a part of the Hugo Chavez.
Well, he's
Chavez.
Right, but still, that regime, the whole regime that he was told against the United
States.
That's
very, of course, Joe doesn't have any stocks, but that's the one. I'm just kidding.
I hate Monsanto, but every once in a while I still have a Starbucks coffee because I can't help myself.
Why, was Monsanto with Starbucks too?
Yeah, they're in bed together now, and I'm like, shit, but I love those lattes. Damn it. Yeah. So I go to
Dunkin'
Donuts more.
Everybody's got a price.
Now I go to Dunkin' Donuts more.
More, not all
the time. Yeah, not all the time, because every once in a while they come out with something just too tantalizing to resist.
So Joe says he thinks I'll be more crotchety when I'm older. I think there's a good chance I will probably be more crotchety.
Yes.
I don't think I will be crotchety, though, because it's just not the way I look. My outlook on life is different. You've never heard me really blame somebody else for setbacks that we've had on our show or in my career or something. I mean, you know, internally I get very upset about stuff, but I just go, okay, I'll find another way. I mean, that's the way I've always
been. But my whole thing was on that meme.
I don't even know which meme you're talking about.
The one, the generation thing.
Oh, the cartoon?
Yeah.
It was a cartoon. It wasn't a meme.
I don't know the difference.
And yet Joe posts.
But anyway, but on that.
Not everybody knows what that means.
I posted it on there. I was called on it. I defended my point. I wasn't looking to debate. I just got called there. I got to defend myself.
We talked about that. I'm not going to go back to that.
No, I don't want to either. Yeah, it's just, you know, we've been down that road.
Yeah. But my whole thing is, you know, don't say all these people and everybody, because I know young people too. You know, I see young people. I see them my kids' age. I see them younger. I see them older and everything. And I see young people doing great things. And are there slackers and lazy people?
What great things do you see them doing?
You just take, like we've talked about before with family martial arts. You take a look at some of those young people who've made a choice.
But they've
made a choice to live that, to take leadership positions and lead that type of lifestyle.
And that's where and that is things that are proving me wrong.
Yes.
That's what I want to see.
But you also can't separate the military out from that. Because you got to remember, I've spent a lot of time with those people.
I wasn't bringing the military into
it. With that cartoon, why I brought the military into it, the only reason I did was because the Greatest Generation showed a picture of soldiers, and the Greatest Generation is thought to have, you know, fought World War II. Great thing. Nobody's arguing that. And their Lamest Generation cartoon had a bunch of slackers, and my point to you was that generation is defending us in two wars.
The way the cartoon was demonstrated was that generation sacrificed for the country.
Yes.
The whole country sacrificed. The way they put it in there, they had that soldier there. The soldier was the basis of the nation coming together. All right? Not only soldiers,
We talked about that. We talked about the difference in what our nation was expected to do. And I'm disgusted by what we were not expected to do as a nation. I said that. And it was President Bush who told us, don't change anything, just go shopping. That's what we were told to do. Don't let the terrorists win, you know, because we're a commerce society. Go shopping. Listen, it came from our commander-in-chief. I don't like it. I prefer that. Listen, I think if our young men and women are defending our country, we should all have a stake in it. Whether there's a draft or not, we should all be making sacrifices. Mm-hmm. But the fact that we're not asked to, you can't blame the people if they don't.
Because it wasn't instilled in them. It wasn't instilled in them.
The commander-in-chief said, go shopping. That's what he instilled. Go to Walmart. Buy some Chinese products. That's what he instilled.
Those people in during World War II in particular, there was a huge propaganda machine. There were so many posters from that time period that were like, you know, buy war bonds. Like, that was everywhere.
That was a whole thing you don't see. And right before all the movies. Like, you went to the movies, you would see, like, the movie films, you know, black and white, CBS News, you know, we're winning on the home front, or we're, you know, look at these women, they're in the factories, in the car factories, making bombs. But it's
Rosie the Riveter.
Yeah.
All the women went into the factories and worked.
Because
and
at the time, it was everybody was for the country.
But they're still for the
but
country.
But they were also great.
But that's been farmed out to places like Halliburton, where Cheney gets rich and everything. Now we have these big, industrial military complex. It didn't exist then. Yeah, it's a different, we don't have to change our car factories into bomb machines. War is fought differently. Listen, man, like I said, I agree with you. We should all be invested, and I feel I did my very, very, very small part by what I did, because I felt a duty, and I wanted to. But, I mean, you can't get upset when the commander-in-chief, the leader of our country, tells a country to go shopping, and they go, well, fuck it, I guess I don't got to worry about this shit. Let the military handle it. It was a horrible, horrible message. Yeah. We all, and to
well,
lower...
That message was misconstrued, because basically on that, I mean, when England got bombed by the Germans repeatedly, Churchill would go out, and Churchill would say, just go about your business. Don't, because if you stop going about your business, you'll let the terrorists win.
Well, he didn't say terrorists.
I mean, enemy win. Yeah. Bush was saying it in the same sense, where if you stop going about your lives, you're letting the terrorists win.
That was a country that was had the war brought to them. Now, yes, we had 9/11, but other than 9/11, the war wasn't brought to us. We were fighting it overseas.
But we didn't know when the next attack would come.
We still don't know.
Just by that, the statement that Bush made.
The statement is fine, but there's no follow-up to it. There's no follow-up to it. Go, listen, go shopping. And by the way, buy war bonds, or we're going to raise taxes because we need to pay for this war, which kind of makes sense. Where you're going to fight two wars, you don't pay for them. It's got to come from somewhere. We weren't asked to do anything. There was just one statement. And you can't listen. Winston Churchill was one of the greatest leaders of all time. You can't. It's very hard to compare somebody to Winston Churchill.
So one statement from Bush is going to define what a whole generation is going to do.
It's not. It's not going to define.
But it seems like you're saying that.
It wasn't just their generation, though. It was your generation, too. But it was the country. That's what we were told to do.
But what should we have done?
What
should we have been doing? I mean, you know, there were no factories for the women to go into.
I'll tell you what you do.
We ration sugar.
We want every family to sponsor at least one soldier and send them a care package once a month. Once a week. That's what we want you to do. Show them that even though they're not in the news every day, they're not forgotten. Show them we care. We're going to raise taxes. This is all going to go so we don't have to have fundraisers in fucking Ohio to get the Humvees properly armored and shit. That's what we're going to do. There was stuff that could have been done.
That's a damn good idea.
Of course it is.
It's a damn good idea.
That's why I have this show.
But that's a damn good idea. I wish we would have known
if somebody
that.
Had
well, nobody asked me.
And if somebody had... If somebody had rallied,
I wish the red
people.
Phone would have rang. Because that's a damn. I'm sorry, sweetie. I just want to add because it was a damn shame that they sent those Humvees out there without the proper protection.
Damn shame! It was outrageous.
It was outrageous. Yeah,
outrageous.
Oh yeah. Now I'm over here by my pal now. Yeah.
Because I use logic.
But it's. I'm sorry, honey.
No, it's okay.
Because I'm furious about that. Yeah, yes. It's unconscionable that they did that.
We're gonna argue about shit from 7 years ago. Now.
Yeah. We'll move along, folks. We'll be about 2012 next month.
Scammer clips?
Yeah, but funny. But like I said, there's, I'm of the open mind where I'm not going, they had plenty of, those Humvees were, no, they weren't.
Right.
Damn it all.
So my point
weren't.
Was, there was shit we could do, but now there are some people that did send care packages.
Yes.
And did sponsor soldiers. And there were some of these kids. Elementary schools sending packages and pictures, so the new generation coming. So that was
and
there.
They're proving me wrong. They're proving me wrong.
Yes.
And I wish a lot more would prove me wrong.
But that's what I'm saying. You can't make blanket statements.
I will make a blanket statement because that is the way I feel, and that's most really what I see. And if people disagree with me, then prove me wrong. The kids, it's.
I just don't have the strength to argue with you all the time.
But the things that are instilled in the martial arts program is phenomenal. What he does, you're proving me wrong. Good for you.
But yes, it's phenomenal. It's phenomenal what Sensei Fujiko does.
Yes.
That being said, their families and those young people made their decision to go there and live that type of lifestyle. It was a decision that they made because they wanted these families. As a family member, and this is what I say, I don't worry about everybody else. I try not to. I worry about what I'm like with the rabbi thing. I worry because now it's affecting my kid. I can't raise a nation until somebody votes for me as for president, but I've said too many horrible things on this show.
Racist rabbi that was at the school that Davin's daughter goes to.
Yes. Yes. Thank you, Pip, for clearing that up. I can't worry about what everybody else, because then I'll be angry like you. And I don't want to be angry like you. It's not fun. I'd rather be happy most of the time. And then when I deal with things that upset me, I handle those things. And some days I have good days, and some days I have really shitty days. And once in a while, I let it slip out on Facebook. But even as I've gotten older, I don't throw it out there as often. It's like, this was supposed to be light.
Look what you did.
It was like,
you broke the show.
It was like,
both David and I took our wrenches, clang, 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 clang.
Oh, it's one to fix the transmission.
It appears another one of our hostages, a female hostage,
was killed
by ISIS.
Now,
let me say what I want to say.
Well, enlighten me on a female hostage. Was
she's
one
been
of
there
ours?
A year and yeah, one of ours,
an American hostage.
Been there a year and a half.
Yeah, I'm not being facetious. Yes, I want to be.
ISIS said that she died in one of the Jordanian bombings. Who knows?
Right.
Listen, if she was there a year and a half, a female, you know, unfortunately, she was raped and brutalized. Oh, yeah, I mean, really, who knows when she died? But I get the anger, and I get revolted every time they do it too. And but people like, and this is why Facebook, because everybody has a voice. We need to do something. Well, it's like, but we are. We are bombing the crap out of them. That's why they don't have convoys. That's why, and Pip and I were talking about this. This is why Mosul might fall. This is why they might take Kobani. But we got to put troops on the ground. So then I go, okay, how many do you want to put? Because 3,000 ain't going to cut it. You got to put thousands and thousands and thousands. Where do you want to put them?
Where's the front?
Where is the front? So you do realize now, if we're fighting ISIS, that means we can either align with some of Al-Qaeda, because they're fighting ISIS. We can align with Assad, the president of Syria, because he's fighting ISIS. Or we can align ourselves with Iran, who we really don't get along with so much. Where do you want to put our it's people just rant. There's no easy solutions. If Obama or any president could snap their fingers and make ISIS or Al-Qaeda or anybody else go away, they would. But you have to be more nuanced. And every, like, Alan West just went on there, a former...
Don't bring up Batman.
You know what I'm talking about?
He only could do so much with Robin.
What are you talking about?
Adam West.
Jesus Christ.
And Davin's like, what the?
This guy's out of touch. He's trying to bring superheroes in the fight. Alan, who's
like
Alan?
Like they can hurt.
Alan West.
A former Florida congressman who got voted out. And he's like, oh, what? He's a former, I want to say general? I want to say general.
I don't know who this is either.
He's been on the news a couple of times.
He's been on Fox News. And he's the community organizer in chief, and what's he doing, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it's easy to say shit when you don't have no power. It's easy to say what you should do when you got nothing at stake, when you're not responsible for human lives, when you're not responsible for Jimmy Miller coming home in a pine box, when you're not fucking responsible for sending a letter to that family, say, hey, I'm sorry your son or daughter died because we put him in the middle of a fucking desert and a war we don't have a solution to. It's easy to do it. I just wish, listen, the social media is great. We all get to have an opinion. And assholes like us, we can spout it off because nobody's really taking us seriously. But people who were in leaders of positions of powers, left, right, sometimes shut the fuck up. Because you are in a leadership position. You know it's more nuanced. You're just trying to get some points, make some headlines, and take some shots at the other guy. And listen, the Democrats did it with Bush, too. It's not one party doing it to the other. It just so happens Obama's the guy now. And Obama took his shots at Bush with the drones and everything, and then Obama doubled down on that shit. And Obama, we're going to close Guantanamo Bay in the first year. Well, not so much.
Yeah.
It's easy to do that shit when you're not the guy.
Well, it's also, it's easier to flap your gums until you're sitting in that position going gray by the moment.
Yes!
Because then they open up the manila folders and show you the real shit that nobody else knows. And they go, now that you're the president, now that you have the clearance, this is what's really going on. And they're like, oh my God!
We
would flip out if we knew what they were doing.
And you would think a congressman and a senator would have, or a former congressman or former, would have some idea of that.
You'd think,
And the politics has changed. It used to be, you never take shot at the commander-in-chief overseas. Now both parties do it.
Yeah.
Both parties do it. When it was Bush, the Democrats did it, and Fox News was outraged. Now they routinely do it with Obama, and MSNBC's outraged. They both do it. It's a very uncivilized country, and we have very uncivilized leaders.
That's
why
we'll never get a decent person to run for president.
No, we don't get the best of the best.
No decent person would do it.
No.
They don't want the gig. The whole thing with the whole bombing campaign is that...
You're not talking about my tour, are you?
No. He gets mad at me when I goof on him, but he'll do it. Yeah, I guess so.
Well, what do you want me to do, Joe? Be high and mighty? How dare you insult me?
Should I take the pressure off of you both and talk about pink slime again?
Please.
But the whole thing with, when they killed that Jordanian pilot and then Jordan went out, we're going to expend every resource we have to bomb them. I had a feeling that we should have been doing that first. And then I stopped, and I'm like, why is it always us?
Yes.
That have to be first.
Why is it always us? And we have been. We have been bombing the shit out of them.
It's actually a country that's over there kind of leading the way.
ISIS is going to decapitate these sitting leaders first.
So here's my gung-ho thinking, and here's where you need to think about things. My whole thing, we should have been in there leading the way. I understand it's... But you want to know something? Maybe for the first time, maybe somebody that's involved there directly... should be leading the way.
Yes. But then, when that happens, you get people like McCain and the whatnots. And McCain has a little bit more of a stand to speak because of
he's a POW.
Yeah. Right. But again, guys like McCain, guys like Lindsey Graham, who doesn't have that same, but he's lockstep with McCain, leading from behind. Like it's a terrible thing, leading from behind. Like we have to be the head of the cavalry every time.
But you know what? The thing about it is, like I said, with Jordan going in. And being so aggressive.
And they were, by the way, they've been part of the coalition. It's not like, there's a reason why that pilot was captured, because he was bombing shit.
I understand. Yeah. I understand. So that's kind of, it's a good scenario where we could rally the rest of the region.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Works out well for us.
Yeah, it does. It actually does.
It does.
So we go in there and it's like, look, Jordan is all in. We need you to be, we need,
But Obama did that. He got a coalition. Together, and they are flying missions. Are they flying as much as we'd like? No.
No.
But they're still flying. There's a reason why that pilot went down, because he was flying a mission, because he's part of our coalition. Think about this. We have a president who is able to get Muslims to bomb other Muslims besides with the suicide vest. Armed forces.
It's pretty amazing.
He doesn't get credit for that shit. Because it's easy to take shots at him. I honestly think, Obama's disappointed me in a lot of things. But I think what happens is, when you take a step back, he's going to go down as a pretty good president. When you look at what the country he got, and whether you want to say it was all Bush's fault or not, it doesn't matter. The country was the country when he got it. And you look at whether you look at unemployment, stock prices, where we are in the wars. And again, it's not a perfect record by any stretch of the imagination. He's done a lot of good. He's done a lot of, maybe somebody could have done it better. I don't know. We'll never know. But it's just ridiculous to take these shots that he's the most – he doesn't love his country, which you see. He's not a patriot or, he's doing nothing. He's feckless. He's a feckless tyrant, is he?
Well, I'm also the other stupidity, where was he born? He's really a Muslim because of his middle name. Oh, stop that.
I always say that.
Really?
I go, wait a minute. I know we're anti-Muslim right now. I know that's kind of what the country's into.
Yeah.
But if you look at what our country was founded on – we should be able to have a Muslim president. That shouldn't be instant disqualification.
Right.
If you look at what the standards of our country are and what we are supposed to hold ourselves up to.
Right, but a lot of Christians are like, oh, no. We're not allowed to have that.
I don't want to say it's just Christians. Listen, I'm sure there's radical Jews that don't want that either.
I'm sure there are. But of course there are. There are probably people, because, Israel has been fighting it out with these people for years.
Here's my point for both sides, and we're going to take our break. Because this was not light at all. You ruined it, Joe.
Sorry. That wasn't my intention.
Here's my point. Whether it's your guy or not your guy, look past the headlines. Look past your team, which is your favorite news channel, whether it be Fox or MSNBC or CNN. Do a little research. Try to find some facts. Mm-hmm. Not an opinion, not something that's called the conservative daily or the left-wing lefty. You see these people, they quote these, far right-wing. I instantly disqualify those articles.
Check the source.
And try to become an intelligent member of society.
Yeah, because basically, if I was brainwashed by Fox News, I would sit here and go, well, Obama hasn't done enough. We should have been in there first, and we need boots on the ground. In reality...
You want to go on Hannity's show?
Yeah, right.
But you'd only speak talking points.
And I'm a right-wing, and that's what I believe. No. basically, I think with Jordan going in, we should. It's enough to rally other another countries in that region to fight along with that. You do a lot of air sorties to eliminate as most as they can. When you finally identify where the core areas that they are, then you put boots on the ground.
It's in Syria. That's where ISIS is headquartered, in Syria, which is a failed state.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, with Iraq, what more can we do? We trained them for a decade. They ran. Before we got there, Hussein trained them. They ran. What are you going to do? I performed in Mosul. I performed it. My DVD, my sets for Mosul.
They ran.
Yes. No, but that was a stronghold. We gave that back to the Iraqi army.
Right.
And then ISIS came marching with their black flags, not the bands, and they ran. What are we supposed to do? Are we going to stay there forever and hold their hands so they don't go running home to Nana? No, they got to want it. You got to want. And that's the difference between our country and our fighting force. Because whether you're left or you're right, and this goes to my point, whether you're left or you're right, they fucking want it because they love their country.
Right.
So that's why I get pissed off when people go, oh, these kids, they don't love their country. They do. And you can't separate the military out from this generation. You can't do it because I've met them. And they're great. You know, they got flaws like the rest of us.
Mm-hmm.
But they want it.
But the cartoon wasn't set up that way.
The cartoon was set up that way.
No, it was not.
The cartoon was set up.
I explained to you why it was not set up. I explained to you that it showed a generation that all worked together and a generation
then
now
why not,
that
then why not show Rosie the Riveter? I mean, that's more of a generation. Why not show the soldier and Rosie the Riveter? That's the generation working together, as Pip was talking about, where they're working in the factories. That proves your point. That would prove your point.
That would prove the point, too. They should have showed it. But
as I said to you at the time, really a fucking cartoonist is going to call bullshit. Go fucking draw another Peanuts cartoon, stupid. I don't give a shit with his stupid fucking doodles. Who are you? Who the fuck is he? Who the fuck is he to chastise an age bracket? Who the fuck is he? He's a cartoonist. Fuck him.
But that's his opinion.
Okay, that's fine. He can have an opinion. And if he's here and I say, fuck you, do something besides draw a doodle.
He'd probably draw you with a dick in your mouth.
And you would call that the greatest generation.
I'd frame the fucking thing.
He'd buy it.
Wouldn't be your dick, I'll tell you that.
Thank you.
All right, let's take you. Ruined the. We're going to do. I was going to say. Like, show. Well, we're certainly anti love.
Stay next time. We'll just. Next, after the break, cancer.
No. No.
No.
Not this show.
All right, welcome back to Davin's Den Malignancy.
No. No. We're going to do our...
We're going to have fun, God damn it all.
We're going to do love fails. That's what we're going to do. And I can see why people would, why you would fail at love. You're a bitter, horrible human person. We'll be back in a few minutes.
You can listen to Davin's Den live every Tuesday on davinsden.com, iHeartRadio, The Indie Authority, RuthlessRadio.fm, TalkSuperStation.com, CyanNetRadio.com, Gone Rogue Radio, HawkRadio.net. Also, you can download the TuneIn app on your Apple or Android device and search for Davin's Den. On iHeartRadio, you will find all of our shows, plus customized highlights of us scamming the scammers, going back to the very beginning of our interactions with our African friends. Go to iHeart.com and search Davin's Den. The Indie Authority also has apps so you can listen live on your mobile devices. Platforms include BlackBerry, Android, and Apple. You can download previous shows from the following places: DavinComedy.com, DavinStand.com, Stitcher.com, iTunes, the Android app, iHeartRadio, RuthlessRadio.fm, TuneIn.com. iHeart can only be heard in the U.S.